Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. How you doing? They're not paying any attention to me at all. Not at all. That's okay. Okay. You go ahead and talk among yourselves. I'm going to go ahead and read some announcements. How's that? The Men's Fat Tuesday Pancake Supper, coming right up February 16th, 5:30 to 6:30. The proceeds will go to Haiti, which we're raising a lot of money for Haiti this month. Bill McCarris will be providing entertainment during the meal. Men, there's a sign-up sheet out on the whiteboard in the lobby. You can sign up for that. That'd be really good. The Lenten devotionals are in. They just got here. Must came in yesterday. So if you want to pick those up, we actually have a couple of our own authors in there for this. That's going to be really good. So today we begin a month of missions during which we will take special collection to help the Red Cross and the Salvation Army in their effort to aid earthquake victims in Haiti. You may donate in cash or by writing a check to Mayflower designated Haiti Earthquake Relief at any time during the month of February. The proceeds from the Men's Fat Tuesday Pancake Supper on the 16th will also be donated to that. And then at our luncheon this afternoon, there will be a basket out for any gifts or anything, and the proceeds from that will also go to Haiti. And Morgan warned me, she's doing a fundraiser for the next couple Sundays, so she's going to be hitting you up for some money.
Oh, boy. You can see me during the luncheon
after church. we do have a luncheon afterwards, free will offering. The proceeds go also to Haiti. And the dinner theater actors, next Sunday, you'll be meeting for a read-through. Okay, any other announcements? Pardon me? Yeah, I announced that. So, okay, let's enter into worship.
Dr. Rick, Kathy has something.
Oops, I'm sorry. Just a minute. Kathy. Oh, okay. Didn't know that. Okay, Barbara Quackenbush is back in the hospital, if you didn't hear that. Okay. Anything else? Okay, let's enter into worship then.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship. Around the world, the people of God gather to honor and glorify Almighty God. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Around the world, the people of God gather, crossing divisions of tribe and race, wealth and poverty, education and social standing, to declare God's glory among the nations, God's marvelous works among all the peoples. Around the world, the people of God gather to praise and pray, to offer gratitude and receive blessing. For all the gods of peoples, idols, but the Lord made the heavens, and we belong to God. Together with God's people around the world, let us worship God. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lamb upon the throne, Lord of peace, our God and King, Creator, shield, and defender, Redeemer, and friend. Mere words cannot fully describe all that you are. We are we to stand in your presence in all your glory. And yet you draw us here. Your Holy Spirit empowers us to share your good news, to tell the story of your Son and your coming kingdom, to rejoice in your life freely given. You have already moved past our sin. Help us to live beyond ourselves in you. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading today comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, and verses 24 and 29. I know when I see something like that in the verses skip, I think, oh, well, will this flow? But it does. This is all about Moses and the people in the desert after Moses had the tabernacle built. Then the Lord said to Moses, summon before me 70 of the leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit which is on you and will put it upon them also. They shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not have the task alone. So Moses left the tabernacle and reported Jehovah's words to the people. And he gathered the 70 elders and placed them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and talked with Moses. And the Lord took of the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied for some time. But two of the 70, Eldad and Medad, were still in the camp. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied there. Some young men ran and told Moses what was happening. And Joshua, the son of Nun, one of Moses' personally chosen assistants, protested, sir, make them stop. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I only wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them all. May the Lord add his blessings to these words.
Good morning. The anthem we're going to sing for you today, Prayer of the Children, I discovered when Men of Orpheus, the men's group I sing with, sang this last spring, has very, very poignant words. And I thought to myself, if we ever do a collection for missions, this is going to be the perfect anthem to accompany that, because the words are so poignant. This is by Kurt Bester, who served as a missionary in Serbia during the 1970s for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He lived with many different races and religions of people in this war-torn country during the 70s. Serbians, Muslims, Croatians, etc. At one point, he was working on a hospital caring for children who had been devastated by the war. That was not of their doing. While retrieving supplies from a neighboring town, the hospital was bombed. Bester came back to find it destroyed, and all the innocent children he had come to care for had died. When he returned to the U.S., he was inspired to write a song in tribute to these children, the innocent, who are the ones suffering from this war the most. And I quote, those children didn't hate anybody. He said, They didn't care about who owned the land or who had the power or the money. They just wanted to have a mom and dad and a place to play. Prayer of the children.
Good morning, everybody. That was beautiful. You guys that sang were really, really beautiful. And I thought that the slideshow that Meredith put together really added a lot. So thank you, Meredith, for taking the time to do that. And to the choir for working so hard on it. I mean, that really, that song is very powerful. And it really summons up what we're trying to do this month. And we're talking about missions. And, you know, this kind of came out of the disaster that happened in Haiti. How many of you guys heard about that on the news or heard people talk about it? I bet your schools are all doing something, right? And, you know, sometimes it takes a big tragedy to make people remember that we are the children of Jesus. And the Gospels and the story of Jesus preaches to us about caring for others and reaching out to others. And there's no room in that Gospel for saying, you know, he's different or she's different or they don't make good choices or to worry about responsibility or anything. It is for us to reach out and help our fellow man because we are all children of God, whether we all recognize the same God or not. We are his children. And it is up to us to care for our fellow man. And there are lots of ways you can do that. There are big ways and there are small ways. And one of the ways we're going to do today is we're going to go downstairs and we're going to make some Valentine's cards for the Veterans Hospital. Yes, Catherine?
I'm making one card for my mommy since she's working out and I want her to be happy.
Yes, and Catherine's mom's far away. And so we're going to reach out to her too because it's all those people who are alone or far away from home, or don't have anyone to show them that they love them at that time. And so we're going to do something to reach out to those people and remind them that even though we're strangers, we still love them because we're all children of God, right? So we're going to say a short prayer, and then we're going to head out the back and head downstairs. You guys can shed those robes. I bet Catherine's getting stuck with all the pins. We didn't have a short one anymore because everybody's grown, so we had to pin her up there. So, okay, so let's have a short prayer. Lord, help us to remember that as your children, you want us to remember the gospel of your love and that caring for our fellow man is the most important demand that you have put upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
John wrote and said, "Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God." So as we're thinking about missions, missionaries, things we're doing overseas, particularly the Haiti, there's just so much when we're thinking about the area of missions, home and abroad. It's not just us giving, it's us being a part of what's going on over there. As we give, we're acting faithfully. God has given to us. We give a little bit out of our surplus to them. Everybody's needs get met. And we become, as we'll find out in the sermon this morning, fellow partakers with them in the work that they're doing for the kingdom of God. So this morning, I invite you to worship God with your giving. Give generously. Mark, everything is going to Haiti. Haiti, it'll get there. We don't take any administration costs off the top. It all happens to get there. It's just going to be really good. So give unto the Lord. Worship God with your giving.
Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You take such good care of us. You bless us. You help us. We are so thankful. And we just pray, Lord, that you will continue the blessing as a lot of this goes for here at Mayflower to meet the needs here. A lot of it goes to Haiti. And we just pray that you will take it like you did the loaves and the fishes, multiply it to every need of your people are met, every need of your church is met, every need in Haiti is met, and there's an abundance left over to spread your word everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, you'll sing the first two verses of this hymn, and then there'll be a verse of instrumental and choir, and then you'll come in again on the third verse.
Oh,
God. Thank you for all the musical stuff. This has been great. This has been great. Oh, lots going on. Lots of good stuff. Well, they're sitting down there so they don't have to look at the back of my head all morning. Our second reading is Luke chapter 9. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor bag nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Jesus shares his ministry. I guess that's point one.
It's his ministry. It's not our ministry. It's his ministry. We got to remember that. If we're going to be involved in doing kingdom work, there's a difference. Not everything that is Christian is for the kingdom. There are people out there building their own kingdoms. Yeah, that is true. We're supposed to be building his kingdom, not our kingdom. It's not about us. Not about us. You know? I mean, I would love to think 100 years from now, some yet-to-be-born preacher will be in the pulpit saying, you know, that Rick Martin is here, that's just the best years of Mayflower's history. I would love to think that. That's not going to happen, but I would love to think that. Right. Not important. It's not important. It's not important that anybody remembers who Rick Martin is. It's only important that people remember who Jesus is. So Jesus, who could have been doing his still ministry, I mean, he's capable of doing it all. He didn't have to share. He could be doing it all today. But he says, you know, I'm a giving God. I love to give. So here, I'm going to let you participate in my ministry. And he did it with the 12, later did it with the 70, and later sent us all out as believers to go participate in his work. And he equips us accordingly. So some he gives great musical ability to. Some he doesn't give any musical ability to. Some have gifts of administration. Some have gifts of... There's lots of things in the Bible.
Hospitality.
Yeah, see, Blanche and Sarah Lou, we're going to experience their hospitality here in a minute because they prepared the luncheon that's coming up. See, gifts of putting together a very moving slideshow. Gifts. Using our gifts and our abilities to do his work on the earth. Not making a name for ourselves, but promoting the kingdom of God. Now, in this passage, I find interesting that he told his disciples, see, what he told his disciples here is no longer the case today. That has been changed. Okay, because after the resurrection, he sent us out and said, you know, if you got two swords, take two swords. I don't have to carry a sword with me, but, you know, if I was traveling in some places in the world, I might. Actually, we prefer a 9mm. But anyway, just for protection's sake, my wife won't let me carry one. Although we do have this little game on our Wii that shoots people, and I ain't near as bad as she is when it comes to killing things on the Wii. I'll tell you what, she's just dangerous. Dangerous. Anyway, so don't give her a gun in real life because we wouldn't want that to happen in real life. But here he's telling his disciples, which I just find interesting, Okay, now I'm going to send you out into all these different places. You're going to go, you're going to preach, you're going to heal the sick, da-da-da. Don't take anything with you. The reason I find that interesting is because growing up in the church, which I did, and then through my training and different things in the church world, we kind of viewed Jesus and the disciples as these very, very, very poor people. Kind of like the monks in the Dark Ages. They gave up everything, didn't take anything, just went around trusting God in poverty-stricken conditions. When's the last time you had to tell a poor person not to take anything with them? Here, I'm going to send you out. We're going to send you out of Lansing. We're going to send you down, you know, down south where it's warm, to Atlanta, to preach the gospel. But I don't want you taking anything with you. When's the last time you had to tell a poor person that? Poor person would say, okay, that wasn't going to be a problem to start with. Right? Yeah. See, sometimes our religious view, and a lot of it is, a lot of it came in the Renaissance. The Renaissance did a lot of good things, it really did. It did not necessarily give us good pictures of Jesus. I love that one song that we just sang. He's smiling, he said, see, you know how hard it is to find a picture of Jesus smiling? I have several of them in my office in Charlotte. Nigh on impossible to find. They're just hard. But I think Jesus smiles. That's what I think. The Bible says God laughs. So why wouldn't Jesus smile? Every picture we see, you know, is this little scrawny guy that, you know, is so religiously serious. I don't know. I tell you the truth, some of the stuff I go through, I need God to smile. I mean, one of us have to laugh, right? You know, I mean, boy, if we weren't laughing, we'd just be crying about this. See, when we have this God that is so poor, doesn't that affect our praying? Dear God, bless Haiti, but you really can't because you're still poor. You know, what can you do? Well, evidently you can do a lot. Millions and millions and millions have been raised. And we get to be a part of that. Of course, it's going to take billions for the country to recover. Okay. So I just find that really interesting. Don't take anything with you. Because I want to teach you a lesson. See, faith. Whether we have a lot or we have little, in God's eyes, neither one of those is a better or worse situation. If God says, I want you to go preach to the cities, you 12. Go out and preach. Preach the kingdom, heal the sick. Okay, great. What's our budget? Nothing. I'm just going to supply day by day as you go along. Wow. That's a little bit of faith, don't you think? You think you'd forget your morning prayers if you were in that condition? Huh? I think the first thing in the morning, well, better pray today because I want to eat today, so I guess I will pray. Have you noticed, or am I the only one like this? Sometimes during the abundance times, I forget. Sometimes I forget. I get really busy. I forget to pray. I forget to be thankful. I forget. But during my poverty times, I never had to forget. Never forgot. I've been through times where if you didn't seek God that day, you weren't going to eat that night. I've been there. And as you can tell, God never failed me. Okay. And if you don't help a little bit, we got to get this thing reversed. This is getting out of control. I got to have to get some help here. Yeah. Let's have a class. How to help the pastor lose weight class. So, yeah. Oh, trusting God, being the person God wants us to be. So when we're looking at raising money for missions this year, Haiti, okay, next year it'll be something else, and then all year long we just do a ton of stuff here. We really do. For such a little church, it's amazing. It's just amazing what we can do for such a group of people. I am amazed. Everybody doing a little bit, and then all of a sudden, we have a whole bunch of stuff done. Whether it's redoing the offices, which we did last summer, or it's shoe boxes, or it's the mitten tray, which we took more stuff over to the school this year than we have in past years. Or it's raising money for Haiti, or supporting a missionary. I mean, stop thinking it's going to take billions of dollars for Haiti to recover. What can Mayflower Church do with that? By ourselves, we can't do much. But together, we can do a lot. Together, we can do a lot. And the money we're giving, we give through. You've heard the warnings on the news, you know, careful who you give your money to. Because did you know that you can, if you raise money for a certain thing and you give 17% of the money to that thing, the rest of it can actually be legally administrative costs? Where's our treasurer? We need to talk. We're doing this all wrong. We give everything. What's wrong with us? We can only be given 17%. Yeah. So we give Red Cross and Salvation Army, is the one that they're going to. Both of them on the ground first at any disaster. And their money goes there. And that's where our money's going. Now, how's God going to sort all this out about our money? See, is our money actually going to be used to help people? Oh, yeah. But God knows the intent of our heart. And so just like the disciples going from city to city to city while Jesus was preaching in their hometowns, by the way, that's what he was doing. So where we had one doing all the preaching, now we got 13 actually, 12 plus he's still preaching. But he knows what all of them are doing because he's God. He knows these things. And he knows. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. Sometimes I don't even know my own motives. He knows our motives. And then he can do this really cool thing. Oh, excuse me. One more scripture. Then we'll talk about the really cool thing. Okay? Might as well say yes because I'm going to do it anyway. That's just giving you a chance to agree. That's all that is. So you say, amen. Do what he's going to do it anyway. Get it over with. Say, so we go to lunch. Say, beloved, you are, it's part of what I read through the offering. Beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, specifically talking about people taking the gospel to other places, even ones that we don't know, and especially when they are strangers, because most missionaries, we don't know. Most people out doing the work, we don't know. In Haiti, we don't know who's down there. So. And they have testified of your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. See, we can't all go. We can't all go. We can't all be involved in all these different things that are going on. My goodness, just think of what goes on in Lansing, where they need volunteers to help feed the poor and the shelter the poor and raise money for very, very good causes. We can't all be involved in all of that. But when we are involved financially, sending them on their way in a manner worthy of God, be like, if God was raising an offering today, here in person himself, and he's watching you write the check while you're giving for the offering, oh, let's see, would you write the same amount? Think about that next time you're writing a check for something. Okay? Think about that. We become fellow workers with that. So we're fellow workers with the Salvation Army, with the American Red Cross, with Franklin Graham's Ministry of the Shoeboxes. We're fellow workers with them. And God keeps track of all of this. And so we're participating in His work. His work. And then, just in case there's not enough, God does this really cool little thing. Remember, there, little fishy. We have fish bread for you today. Hey. Because I am sure whatever we end up raising for Haiti as a church, it's just going to blow me out of the water. You know, a church of 50, I have no idea what we will raise for this, but I know when I look at the final numbers, I'm going to say, how can we do this? Because that's what I always say whenever we do stuff for that. You people are amazing, just amazing in your giving. But what can, if we raise $10,000, which we won't, but if we did, what would so much do, or so little do against so much for Haiti? Well, see, that's where God comes in. The five loaves and the two fishes, there's one of the fishes, okay? 5,000 men, plus women and children to feed, one boy's lunch, and the disciple says, what is this with so many? Jesus said, have them sit down and bring the stuff to me. Because all that we can't do in our humanness, God can do. So He takes what little bit we have, and oh, by the way, when we're taking communion, since there is two fish, you may take two fishes. Because we have plenty of fish, by the way. They. Then He took the fish and He'd break it up. I don't want to get crumbs all over because Dean will yell at me. See? No, he never yells at me. And they fed 5,000 men plus women plus children. What, 20,000 people in the American family? You know, we have, what, two adults and 1.8 children per family or something. 20,000 people off a little boy's lunch. And had baskets and baskets, 12 baskets left over. So we give, we share, we write a check, we sing in the choir. Our beginning handbell is just sounding great. See? We cook, we help in the second Saturday supper, we peel potatoes downstairs. And God takes what we give Him and breaks it up and breaks it up and feeds the people and feeds the people. And if everybody does what we're supposed to do, God will make up the difference and everything will get done. Everything will get done. So this month is your giving toward Haiti, and in the future as we're doing other things for other programs, remember that. What does God want you to do personally? And if that thought comes in, what does this little bit mean? What does my $10 mean? Well, in the hands of God, $10 is enough. It's enough. Because He breaks it off until every need is met. Every need is met. With that thought in mind, we're going to share communion. We're going to take the bread, take the cup, represents what Jesus, everything that Jesus did for us in His life, His death, His resurrection, everything is symbolized here. And so whatever you need this morning, here's the picture of the answer. Jesus is the answer. And so as you're receiving the bread and you're receiving the grape juice, receive your answer. And then as we're giving, Jesus is the answer. He's going to multiply what we can do till every need is met, at home and abroad, through us. What a privilege to share in that part of his ministry. So, ushers, if you will come. And hold your elements. We will partake together. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Father, thank you that you give us so much. And actually, everything that we'll ever need, this life or the next, you have provided for us and symbolized in this bread, in this cup. So bless this bread, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let us partake together. when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Father, thank you. Thank you. The problem, sin, separating us from God, that you took care of that problem for us. And now we can be in right relationship with you through Jesus Christ and part of your kingdom and part of sharing in your ministry on the earth. Thank you very much for this privilege. Bless this drink, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us partake. Okay, a quick joy and concerns today. I resurrected the old prayer box. This was here out in the other foyer, and then all the remodeling got moved somewhere. I resurrected it because we now have people sending us prayer requests on the internet. Yeah, they're in the box. I printed them out and put them in there. That's really cool. And some I think that are not related to our church. I didn't recognize the names, and of course they don't have to sign their name or anything, but so this is just really good. Actually, last month we had nearly 500 hits on our website. So people are checking us out from literally all over the world. Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, so there's a list of the prayer concerns in there. There's a list of the online people in there. I am looking for a handful of people to pray for the online stuff that I can let know. If you're interested in that, let me know. And as I get those, I'll kind of shoot the information to you, because I don't want to just take prayer requests for the sake of filling up a box. I want to take prayer requests to pray that gives God an in to help touch and change lives. And so they're here. If you have prayer requests, I'm going to leave the box out here. You can be over there. So we need an update on Ruth. Father, thank you. You are so good. Thank you. And Lord, we do. We pray over what this prayer request box represents. All the needs of the people here, the families here. The ones that, for some great reason, you're allowing us to know outside of our church through the internet. We feel privileged to have that information and be able to pray for them. And we just pray that every need will be met according to your perfect will. We don't always know what that is, but you know. And we pray that you will bring your will to pass, touch, heal, comfort, encourage, feed, clothe, so much that needs to be done, jobs. Bring your will to pass in these people's lives, we pray. And thank you for letting us have a part of this through our prayers, through our giving, through our participation. Many people volunteer for different things to help other people. It's just wonderful. Wonderful to be with this bunch of people, that is for sure. So, Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for letting us participate with that. Thank you for wanting a relationship with us. Thank you for teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn.